Got to use a couple more professors like that, I have to admit. Thank you for the story, Daniel. There's a couple of things that I want to mention as we get started. The first of which is that some time ago, in fact, last year, or it could have been actually 2018, when I first got here, I asked you guys if you would be willing to partner with me in praying for three specific things, all of them pertaining to this church. First, in our life, our relationship with the Lord, that we could be in tune with Him. And second, for the work that we're doing here, to His glory. And third, in reaching out to people so that they may know about the beautiful God that we love and serve. And so every once in a while, I'd like to remind you, if you would please continue to pray for these three specific things in our lives, all of the complexity that can come in expanding on that in the life of the church, a lot of complexities too, whether it's people, the building, the needs, the bills, and also in being able to reach our community, the complexities that come with that. So we're summarizing it for the sake of brevity, but please continue to pray for the work that we do, that the Lord will strengthen us, and that He will give us wisdom, and that He will give us favor and resources that we may continue to do the work that He's called us to do. And in that light, one of the things that last year we were able to reap was your faithfulness to God, and not only in your prayers, but also in your giving. And so we're grateful for that. We want to thank you. But also want to remind you that the needs are still many. And so if the Lord impresses you that you would like to contribute in some kind of way, whether it be with your talents and your gifts or your helping hand or your resources, we could use that in addition to your prayers, because I already asked you about that. So when it comes to the building, which has been the bigger focus, there's a slot in the tithe envelope that actually says building. You would just earmark whatever you would give and under the line that says building. And then it would be allocated to the building, and it would help us in continuing to propel some of the efforts and the work that we're doing here. So just want to remind you about that. And I hope that you received, if your membership is here, you received an email last week that talks about the statement that we're looking to put together as we begin this year. And it's a mission, vision, and purpose statement. And that comprises the following things. Mission. What is the mission? Well, it looks to answer the what. What is it that we're about? We are about, you're going to tell me whether what you think that is. And we're going to collect everyone's thoughts. And then that goes into the vision. It addresses who we want to be. So this is where I am, but this is where I want to go. Right? In the future. And then there's the purpose. It explains the why. As simple as that. Is that clear? You could take that information, take that survey, fill it out, email it back, print it, bring it to us. We have 3 weeks left to finish collecting them. This is week one. All right? Thank you very much. We'll continue next week with a study of the development of Adventist theology. I didn't update the date on that because we had to cancel because of the snowstorm, but it will actually take place next week. And then in a couple of weeks, we will have our concert, our first concert for the year, Silk Road, a Silk Road journey to the West. Hope you could join us for that. That will take place at 5:30 p.m. on the 15th of February. This is a rarity in February because we have five Sabbaths. Can you believe that? I'm sure you can. I would like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. And we will go to Hebrews chapter 4. We heard Nestor read to us a few moments ago one of the verses that we have for this opening text. It's Hebrews chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. I'm wondering if you would be willing to help me in singing a song as we move forward. Have it, the lyrics on the screen. It's a short little tune. It's entitled, I Love You, Lord. And we'll sing it twice. God, we call on your name this morning because we love you, because you have redeemed us, you have shown us your grace, your abundant love, you've given yourself in Jesus that we may have not only hope but life, not once but twice. And so, Father, as we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our salvation, this morning, we pray that you will bless us with your Holy Spirit. Father, that the text that we read and study, that our mind and our heart will be open to receive it, to see the scenes, to understand the profundity, and understand your purpose for our life and for this church. So we thank you and praise you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So last week, most of you would not have noticed. Maybe you were here, maybe you weren't here. But it's very likely that you didn't notice that at one point in the service, I came down and I sat over by the piano. Mainly because really we were having a technical difficulty. We've been using the projector down here. for a few weeks now, because the other one has been is being serviced. And so in the midst of this technical difficulty, since it was my computer, I had to come down here and figure a couple of things out. And then I went back and I sat in my corner. And as the flow of the service continues, I have to turn the our very own Daryl Williams and communicate some information. And so he's not too far. He's right around where Chris and James are. But I'm on the other side, and the service is happening. So I look at him, and I signal, and I motion to what must have seemed like him. And he looked at me, he was like... So I figured I'd give it a second try. I think he put his hand in his pocket, just picked out his phone. He's like, why don't you just, let's text. Let's communicate that way. And it doesn't seem like a very big gap, right? Because it's, what, I don't know, maybe 20 feet, 25 feet. But it's significant enough in the midst of what is happening that we have to find an alternative source of communication because those signs aren't working. So, cleverly enough, we're able to come up with a solution by using a device. And I say all of this not only because it happened, and I get a chance to put Daryl on the spot. Thank you, Daryl. But also because there's a gap, there's a brokenness in communication with the heavenly courts, right? That's happened because of sin. And so the communication has been broken, and the Lord has sought to establish that communication. And of course, we know that through His Son, He becomes that channel that closes the gap between us. And I would say that that's good news. Would you agree? Amen. Yeah, that can be resolved in a way not only that is helpful for the day, but it is also permanent as we give God permission. And so the good news, if you allow me to take a chance or a shot at paraphrasing it, I would say that it's something like the Lord, He loves us. And He's given Himself in His one Son so that all who will believe and trust in Him may have life everlasting. I'm sure that sounds familiar, right? Rather to finish it, rather than death. To finish, you know where I'm getting it from. I'm paraphrasing John 3:16. That's the good news. That there was a gap between us, but God has given His Son so that gap can be closed. And that there could be open communication. We read, and I'll read it again, Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Right, Daniel? We need that grace. I agree. I've needed a lot of it. I still need a lot of it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's good news. That's really good news. The God of heaven is looking to close the gap with humanity so that humans, in gratitude for what they have received, can also close the gap with each other so that these relationships can be restored. And it so happens that this is not a new thing. We could think back to the first century and say, oh, it's great that this happened, that God has given Himself and Jesus so that we may have life. Amen to that. But it's not a new thing. Because before Jesus had come, He had actually looked at providing a way to close that gap between mankind. See, When we were separated because of sin, and we could no longer be in His presence because we would be consumed by His holiness, He said, I'm going to establish a way by which you can come and enter in communion with me again. Let me give you this system of atonement so that then you can enter. And he provides the sanctuary. And he says in Exodus 25, he says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I'm going to make a place. We've been separated, but we're going to be together. I'm going to make a place where we can be together. And as a footnote, perhaps as an extra, off the script, keep in mind that we're really not going to dwell in heaven. So it would be good for us to start dispelling the notion that eventually we're going to be in heaven. Because it was here where sin happened and it separated us. And it is here that he brought the tabernacle. And it is here that he came to dwell. And it is here that the new Jerusalem will come. This is our home, except that because of sin, we've pushed God away. But he says, I'm coming back to be with you where you are. There I will be also. So we're coming. Yeah, we believe in the millennial. It's 1,000 years. And then we'll be here. And the new Jerusalem will descend. So keep that in mind. So we come. The Israelites would come, of course. And they prepare themselves for the offering and for worshiping the Lord. And they would bring, in order to atone for their sins, they would bring, well, an offering. And they would take the offering and they would care for the offering until it was time to offer the offering. And the offerer would actually slay the offering himself. And then the priest would do the rest of it. And then by the time that Solomon, the son of David, which we just finished the series on David, by the time of Solomon, the temple had been built. So it changed a little bit the way in which the service looked, because now they're not so much in canvas, in tents. Now they're in a house of cedar, of gold that's been made to dedicate to the Lord. Nevertheless, the point in all of this is bringing to God, out of gratitude for the grace that we have received, that unmerited favor, our offering. It's worship, the praise and the exaltation of God on high. I am the one that brings it. And he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful that you have received this grade when you did not deserve it. That you have received an opportunity of life when death awaited. And be thankful. He says, so all of this to begin to lay the foundation of the groundwork of new short series that we will begin this afternoon. And it's called A Grateful Heart. We worship because our relationship with God has been broken. He's given himself to restore it. We have received it. And we're out of gratitude coming together this time collectively to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. So, the title, Come and See, and I want to invite you to come and see with me to the book of Revelation chapter 4. And we will go and we will see what the text has to say. Revelation chapter 4. And as you look for Revelation on your device or on your Bibles, I'll tell you a little bit of what has happened thus far, because we're entering into chapter 3. John has been exiled to the island of Patmos. He is the last man standing. All others, disciples, they've perished. He's the last one in exile, and from exile, the Lord appears to him, and he hears the voice, and he recognizes the voice, but when he turns and he looks, Jesus, the one who's speaking, the Alpha and the Omega, looks very different than what he remembers. And Jesus begins to give him a message. We move from chapter 1 to chapters 2 and 3, he gives a message to the seven churches. He says, write. And he goes from the things that are to the things that will be. And chapter 4 serves as an anchor chapter, if you would, allowing us to make the connection from what John is seeing here on earth to what is happening in heaven. And it says, after these things, after I've heard him speak to me and tell me these things about the churches, it says, after these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And he says, the first voice which I heard, it was like a trumpet. It's not like a modern day trumpet, it's a shofar made out of ram's horn. He says, it's like, because that's what he can connect it to. He says, it's like a trumpet and speaking to me. And he says, come up here, which is where we get our title. I know it's a little bit different, but I'm trying to bring it and contextualize it. Come and see, because it's an invitation to see. He says, come up here and I will show you the things which may take place after this. And so before I move on, there's a couple of things that I want to highlight. And it's that John looks and he sees that a door is open. And the angel goes on to explain, but the open door is an invitation in itself. It's an invitation. And then he says it orally. He says, come, see. I am opening my place so that you can see what is happening. Now, I have to ask, are we opening our door so that he can come and see and stay? Not just now, tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow at noon, tomorrow night, Monday when you're in the train, Tuesday when you're in traffic. You get the picture, right? It's opening our heart so that he can dwell in there. He can be our guest of honor. He said, so I looked up. And so I looked. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me. And he said, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. And he says that immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the first thing that he describes, he says, there's a throne. As I enter through this door, there's a throne. And it says, there's a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like jasper and sardius stone. Like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Now, I wasn't there. I have to say that. But I think I know what John was thinking when he saw that. I think he had an epiphany. As he sees the throne, and there's one on the throne, and he sees the colors, and he sees the things, the rainbow, and I think he had an epiphany. And he said, to think that I wanted to sit on the left or the right of that. That I was asking for that. To think that in my ignorance, I would say such a thing. You remember when he said to Jesus, grant us whatever we want. Then he got his mama. Mama, you ask him. Can you? He said, that's not mine to give. But can you bear the burden? And here he is, the last man standing. Woe unto me. the things that selfishness would drive us to do. Verse 4, it says, "And around the throne were 24 elders." Sorry, there were 24 thrones. "And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads." Now, if you're here on a regular basis, if you're visiting, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We have lunch, so please stay. If you're here on a regular basis, you know, or at least maybe you have, if you're a guest, you've noticed that I really like visuals because I find that they help not only present the picture, but to have a better description, to unite the senses in trying to grasp the depth of what Scripture is saying. And when I got to this, I had nothing. I could put a stone, a jasper, sardius, so that, but I can't describe it. I lack of words. And so I sat there and I said, "Lord, what do? I can't go anywhere to get, except there, to get good slides." Then it occurred to me that there is something that we can do. Not just for me, not just for you. But we can ask Him, as we have already. We can ask Him that His Spirit will paint that scene in our mind. You mind if we pray that again? Father, again we ask in the name of Jesus that we may be deeply impressed by the scene that John has written, because You've opened the door and You've invited us. And so I ask again anew that Your Holy Spirit will paint that picture in our mind, and that we may see clearer who You are and Your character and the grace that You offer, that we may know You better. Asking it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so He says, and around the throne there were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders. And they were sitting, they were clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, I added the "and," he continued, he says, before the throne there was a sea of glass. A sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne, there were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures each had six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." A better translation for that word "rest" is "cease." They don't stop praising God, worshiping Him. I was asked by one of our magazines some time ago to write an article for them, and I did. It was past the deadline, but I wrote it, and I sent it in. And after the editor received it, he reviewed it, he edited it, and sent it back. And he said, "I had to change a few things." He said, "I felt that the article was too solemn." And yeah, that scene is a solemn scene. But it's not the scene. It's not the 24 elders. It's not even the four living creatures.
I go as far as to say it's not even the throne. It's the one that sits on the throne that has made the invitation, impressing us. That's why we prayed again. Yeah, that's the God that I want to portray. I said to the editor, thank you, but maybe I'll publish it somewhere else. Because I don't want to erase that picture. Because I think that part of the issue that we find in today's society is that we have lost that very picture of who He is. Of His character. And this is the central piece of the book of Revelation. Now, I know, and I have some points up here, that we have a tendency to think or to want to explore when we hear Revelation, or when we hear that it's being preached. We say, well, I don't understand it. There's a lot of strange symbols. Or we'll say something like, some of the scenes are scary. Or we focus on numbers and numerology. Or we focus on the end of the human race. The end is coming. You know, the end is coming, by the way. And we have nothing to fear unless we forget how God has led us in the past. That's a quote, by the way. It's like, if we know that He's coming for us, there's nothing to fear. Now, if we don't know, we need to find out so that we can be bearers of the good news. We can know a lot of important things, but we need to know the essential things. And there's a difference between important and essential. We need to know the essential thing, that He's coming for me, that grace that is made available, He offers it and I receive it. Don't let anyone take that from you. Because the enemy, he's like a roaring lion looking to see whom he can devour. So we focus on the end of the human race or a prophecy. We say it's a cryptic message. It's hard to define. And at the core of the book of Revelation, we find the gospel. The next two chapters, that's what they are. And at the core of the gospel is worship. In love, we worship Him like they were saying, because He has saved us. Because while undeserving, He said, I love you and I want you anyways. I will take you. And so now that we have been taken, let's not let go of that taken. Whenever He continues in Verse 9, he says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down before Him who sits on the throne and they worship Him. They give glory to God. It's the praise and exaltation of the Lord on high. That's what worship is. It's not what I like, it's not what we do in my culture, it's not tradition. Worship is giving God glory. And he says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down before Him who sits on the throne and they worship Him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things. And it continues into chapter 5. But we're going to get into chapter 5 next week. Have you heard of the stone of Scone? Anyone heard of the stone of Scone before? No? Good. I'm going to tell you about it. The stone of Scone is the stone that was used since the very first coronation of the King of Scotland. The very first monarch, they used the stone for the coronation. In the year 1296, King Edward I, after he had invaded Scotland,
took that stone to Westminster Abbey. He took it with him. And there at Westminster Abbey, he took this most prized possession from the Scots. And he said, I am going to put that stone on my coronation chair. And they kept it in that abbey for nearly 700 years. So there are pictures where you can see the coronation chair. This is where all English, they have been using this for hundreds of years in England also, since it was brought. And you can see the coronation chair and the stone, it's in the bottom. It's just right there. Well, not quite the bottom, but in the middle before the actual part where you would sit. And on Christmas Day, 1950, four Scottish students snuck into Westminster Abbey and they stole the stone. And they took it back to Scotland. You can imagine how that got things going. It was returned back to England, and you can see the paper, in 1953, after Queen Elizabeth II was crowned, the stone was returned to Scotland. And the Scots have it now, and they have a place for it where they can keep it. So the more current pictures of the coronation chair in England looks like that. There is no stone. The stone is missing. There's a throne for a coronation in heaven. And there is a stone like no other. And that stone has said, I'm going to return. And I'm going to call you. Is your heart open to receiving Him? It's okay if you haven't made the decision, but today is the day to do it, to decide for Jesus, the stone upon whom we need to build our lives. Not built with hands, not cut with hands or instruments. And He's calling us. If we will make that choice for Jesus, we can be assured that He's ours because He cannot lie. And He says, if you come to me, I receive you. I won't turn you away. So we can have that blessedness be part of our life, not just today, but always. I have asked my twin brother, from another mother, but from the same father, to join me in singing a song. So we're going to sing a song for you, and it's entitled Blessed Assurance. And I pray that you will consider the words and the promises that Jesus has made for us, not just today, but that are everlasting.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my soul. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my soul. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, gifted with goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Father, we praise You. We give You glory. Your children, Your creation, the people You have called responding to You. Lord, we attempt to see and to know and to understand the scenes in the book in order to know You better. Define Your character to us in a more clearer way. Show us the depth of that love. Show us Your grace. And show us how we're spared from moment to moment. And may we have hearts that are abundantly filled with joy because we recognize Your goodness. Father, there's a world, there are people that are yet to experience You. And we know that that great feast won't be the same to You if they're not there. And so may we be Your vehicles in connecting with others, developing friendships, relationships, using our gifts, our abilities, our hobbies, so that they may see our sincerity, they may see Your truth, Your beauty, Your love. So here we are, Lord, Yours. Bless this congregation, our visitors, our plans, and our future. We thank You, Lord. We love You and ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.